When James says that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, was he arguing with Paul, who wrote, "A person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law"? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm your host, Alden Thompson, and we continue our series on the book of James. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas and Pedrito Maynard Reed from the School of Theology at Walla Walla. And I'd like to dump this question into Pedrito's lap.
It's a fabricated question, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's one which has driven people wild all over the place. And Pedrito, I'd like to have you give us some help in because what you do in your commentaries is you say these are not addressing the same issue.
That's
tell us the truth.
And I wish if people just accept that and move on, but that's not how we are trained to be. We're trained that the Bible is one flat book, that everything is equal, everybody is addressing it it's the same way, the words are without context, and that's sad. Part of the problem with this particular verse is with Luther. When Luther became rejected the Catholic Church, it's because of they wanted to do penance and works for salvation. And he found hope in Paul. And when going to Romans, he found that you don't have to do all these works that the Catholic Church was demanding.
Okay, let me interrupt there for a minute. It seems to me that Luther was a German.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. Okay.
And Germans are masters at doing everything gründlich. That's the German word, thoroughly.
So, yeah.
And what I've discovered in looking at the history of this issue, that people who are drawn to righteousness by faith in a very strong way are people who are incredibly intense in their religious experience.
Mm.
Augustine, Luther, Calvin, in the Adventist Church, Desmond
Ford. You mean righteous by works, you were talking about.
Yeah, well, righteous by work, yeah. But they are so horrified by that because they are so intense that if they allow themselves to move that direction. So,
Germans, Australians, Jamaicans,
okay.
who tend to be that. But so Luther had a tremendous influence on Protestant. That means Paul became the touchstone for everything else. The rest of Scripture and the rest of the New Testament was read through the eyes of Paul. And Paul says you're not justified by works, but by faith alone. Right? Which he didn't say. It was James who uses the alone.
That is the amazing thing. That James uses the phrase and Paul picks it up and uses it for a different purpose.
But he doesn't use alone.
Yeah.
But Luther stuck the alone in there. All right? Therefore, for Luther, James was not even part of the canon. Mm. He put it at the back. He said it's an epistle of straw. And he put it along with Revelation and Jude and Hebrews towards the back of the canon because it did not uplift Christ. It did not manifest Christ, was the word that he used. Therefore, and one of the reasons was because he says he disagrees with Paul in this issue. Besides, he doesn't bring Jesus in there. There's nothing about the atonement. There's nothing about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing about all these things. And he is now making, because Paul in Romans is the touchstone, is a norm, therefore this falls flat. Instead of looking and say, hey, this is not James against Paul. This is James in his context, and that's Paul in his context. Paul is dealing with the Judaizers who were saying, you got Christian Judaizers, incidentally, like the apostles, were saying, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the law. You got to keep all these things that are written in the law that God ordained from the beginning. God never came and said, thou shalt not circumcise anymore. It was always that way.
So, now, is part of the story here the fact that in James, there is no reference to circumcision. There is no reference to any of the dietary laws.
Nothing. There is nothing like that in James because James is not dealing with any of that.
Is that because he's early?
He's very early, and he's dealing with a different context. Mm-hmm. He's talking to not just Christians. He's talking to all the Jews in his community, not just the Christians. Right? So he's not, he doesn't have to bring in all these Christian things. Many of them developed later, especially with Paul, as Paul was attacking the Judaizers, right? So Paul's context is an attack against Judaizers. James' context is a community which includes Christians, but includes non-Christians who are not treating people who are oppressed well. And he takes up this discussion of how do you treat the orphans and the widows, and in verse 14, those who are doing works, is your brother or sister naked, lacks daily food. You tell them, go in peace, you don't do anything to them. How can you? And the best way to translate is not works, is deeds.
Oh, deeds, yeah, because works deeds, has meritorious.
I try to avoid using works when I'm dealing with James. And James is dealing with ethical concern. Paul is dealing with theological concern, a theology of circumcision and works of law, he calls it in Romans chapter 3. And he adds a works of law.
So Petrita, I see the link you're making from an earlier week about these earlier two verses.
Absolutely.
Where, in other words, if your religion does not produce deeds that uplift the oppressed and the downtrodden and the disenfranchised, there's something wrong with your religion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you can understand faith in the context, not faith the way Paul is using it, and Paul goes into much deeper. James doesn't even explain that. He's more talking about a religion where you have this religion, but you have none of these deeds and people are suffering.
Mm-hmm. And now, there are two other words, and I don't know whether this fits into your story, and I don't want to derail your train completely here. But the word for justify is an intriguing one. It's related to the word dikaiō.
Uh-huh.
And I'm intrigued if that might not be part of the solution here. I know when I was in Germany, they were horrified by the possibility that human beings could justify God, because they gave justify a very narrow definition. Whereas if you take the word theodicy, which is justification by God, that horrifies a devout German. No, you can't justify God. But another verse that comes in here is in Matthew 6, beware of practicing your deeds before others. And its righteousness is dikaiosune, which also involves here deeds.
So yeah.
This is,
you remind me, last week I read an article. You remember here where we're taping this, the Ebola thing is all over Africa, Western Africa. And I read an article that doctor that was infected and came to Atlanta, I read an article that just ripped into him as a fool, that how stupid he was to go over there and do this kind of stuff. And in light of what you're saying here, James would have lauded the man as nearly a saint.
That's right.
Because
that's exactly
he risked his life. I understand he's recovered.
Yeah.
But he risked his life to help people who are in the current time absolutely powerless. I mean, they have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no resources that can help them that they have for themselves.
Part of the you raise an excellent point, Dave. People have a hard time with this passage because he uses the same illustrations that Paul used.
Yeah.
Abraham was justified in chapter 4 of Romans. And Paul says, Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness, called a friend of God. You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith. Say, one had to know each other. James is either contradicting Paul or Paul is contradicting James. The fact is, though, the Abram story has been used so many times. He doesn't tell you when it is that he's talking about that. Some of us believe that the story that he's talking about here is when he brought the three angels in and fed them and gave them food and he cared for them.
But the point remains is that your religion, the faith that Paul talks about, needs to produce what James is talking about.
That's right. And James and Paul comes to that at the end of his books. He has this ethical section at the end of the book. Yeah. You know, he starts with, therefore, in chapter 12 of Romans, you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy
Paul
and acceptable.
And he
comes to that. But Paul makes it clear in the bulk of his book, in the first part, where he's dealing with people who are trying to find righteousness through legalism. And he rejects that. But
you know,
the
interesting thing,
part later.
In all Paul's major books, you have, first of all, theology,
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you just kind of pull the blinds and said, now we'll talk about ethics.
Yeah. He goes from the indicative, as we know in Greek, to the imperative. Yeah.
Right.
So he comes to the imperative, but he doesn't spend a lot of time on the imperative.
No, and he often doesn't explain it. He just says, do this, do that, do that. And it's short, pithy sentences.
Because Paul is contextual. Yeah. Paul is dealing with a problem in his church.
James is saying, brother, Paul should have said a lot more about it.
But no, and he wouldn't want him to say a lot more, because you take this and put it into Romans context, it's not going to make a lot of sense, because that's not the issue he's dealing with. And you take Paul and bring it here, it's not going to be scratching where it's itching, because it's a different context. But he really wants to get to verse 14 through 17, through 16, that it's people who are in need that you got to do good deeds for. And that is true religion. And the rest is just illustration. You believe the devil believes to.
Now, I'd like to know how you would define, or how James defines faith. That's another crucial word here.
He doesn't, and I mentioned that. He doesn't get into a definition of faith. You can pick up that, but
you can construct one based on how you said.
And I think religion, the way you say you are a religious person, right, is what he has. He also uses, the one other time he uses Christ's name, he said, those of us who have faith of Christ, faith of Jesus, faith in Jesus. I don't think it should be in. I have a long footnote on that in my notebooks. It should be the faith of. That means trust in. If you believe, you know, that in God, the way Jesus believed and accepted, then, you know, you should be doing these things like Abraham did and Rahab did.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rahab shows up here.
Yes, again, action of how he cared
at
for
great
those.
Risk she took
at
in
great them. Risk. And she is made a fabulous person. I mean, a person who was not looked upon too.
Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous.
Which, interesting, he makes her a prostitute here. There's someone who says, you know, it's James who says she's a prostitute. Of course, she's called a prostitute in some of the intertestamental literature too. But he says she was considered righteous. Not well-behaved woman, but she did care for those who needed caring for. Yeah.
Now, Pedrito, there's one urgent question, and we may have to raise this elsewhere before we're finished with the quarter's lessons. But how would you use Scripture to help people understand that you've got to take context more seriously? I don't know how you do that with your students.
But. Yeah, and I do that. I ask how parents do it with their two children that are so different.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good. Well, our time is running out. And next week, we're going to turn from faith and works to a particular type of work, namely taming the tongue. And both Dave.
Only one lesson on that.
Dave and Pedrito will be our conversation partners again. My thanks to both of them and to Dave Olson, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.